beer for this podcast is an Odell's Isolation Ale.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and moan. Look for a motherfucking safe space. This ain't it. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Hillary's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Don't forget my friends and my enemies. The most important, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourself. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. The fans are going wild. Been on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 12 motherfucking years, stating the obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform in which I launched the cruise missile my intellect comes in. I destroy stupid motherfucking statists all around the world. Wherever the statists are at, it doesn't matter. That's the power of the interwebs, which is powered by cat pictures. I can destroy statists all around the world. I can fucking piss you little fucking statist faggots off. You can get all fucking worked up, and that's racist, and that's sexist, and that's Islamophobic, and that's hate, and Donald Trump has orange hair, and who would build the roads? It doesn't. It's just shut the fuck up, all of you. I had to go on the feminist book the other day. Oh, I haven't heard back anything on that. Anyway, I had to go on the feminist book the other day because I was dealing with some stuff. I was trying to get the website reconnected back to Facebook for automatic publishing, which is still not happening. And while I was there, I unfortunately looked at the Facebook feed and I saw some fucking anarcho-sissy whining about how somebody else said they were going to vote for Donald Trump. And the anarcho-sissy was going off about, how can you be an anarchist and vote for Donald Trump and you don't have any principles, and I unfriended him. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you fucking unfriended somebody on feminist book. Well, you have struck a blow against the state. Holy shit. The freedom is coming any moment now. Some fucking anarcho-sissy on feminist book unfriended somebody for saying he was going to vote for Donald Trump. Oh my God. If all of you would just die, it would make the world a better place. It really would. You unfriended somebody on Facebook. And this is important enough for you to announce it on Facebook. That's how much of a fucking loser you are. Think about that for a few minutes. If you can think. You can think it all. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, founded in 1999. 12 years of podcasting on November the 1st, 2016. Oh, yeah. Email address, if you want to send us love mail, hate mail, death threats. Send more death threats. I don't get enough death threats. Send more death threats. You can send those to God, it's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the motherfucking interwebs. It's the first beer I've had in 2 days. I had to work for a living a little bit. It sucked. So there's no drinking while that was happening. Because I had to do shit that involved doing shit. Anyhow. Speaking of shit, let's talk about the millennials. We're going to get back to the millennials. We're going to wrap this up because nobody knows more about insulting millennials than I do. Maybe not in the history of the whole world. Now, this is the third part. If you haven't listened to the first two parts, you should go back and listen to them. Because in the first part, we were introduced to, what's this moron's name? Dominique Artis. Now, in part one, in episode one, we met Dominique Artis. He's 29 years old, and he typifies his generation. In between jobs this year, the Tallahassee, Florida resident scrounged money from family and friends so he could immerse himself in Hebrew studies this summer at Middlebury College in Vermont. Last year, it was the art of glass blowing, and before that, he was getting voice lessons. And, you know, Artis is interested in his career and making money too. It's just that he's got other things on his mind, like taking a trip to Cuba next year. Oh, so there's your millennial. It's like, oh, I want to make money. I'm worried about my career, but I don't want to really do anything. I just want to borrow money from other people that I'll never be able to pay back and do stupid shit, which is not actually an investment. Speaking of begging money, this is something I've noticed, because I've seen this crop up in multiple places now. When people die, other people, their survivors, set up a GoFundMe, which I assume is a .com, like cyber begging thing. Someone dies, and your father, your mother, your child, your brother, your sister, whatever, dies, and you go on the internet and set up some cyber begging so people can donate money? I mean, this is pathetic. These aren't necessarily millennials doing this. This is all of you. By all of you, I mean multiple generations. I don't mean all 7 billion people on the planet Earth. Now, in episode two, we met Summer Lolly. Like other millennials, Summer Lolly is keenly interested in having her own place. She wants something close to her parents' 2-story, 4-bedroom house in the Dallas suburb of Mesquite, where she grew up and currently lives. Where she currently lives with her parents. But the 27-year-old community organizer can't imagine how she will be able to save up for a down payment and afford a mortgage. Oh, because here she has $35,000 in student debt and a car loan, and she's struggling to make ends meet. That's why she moved back in with mommy and daddy. And she's a community organizer. But she thinks she's going to be able to afford a 2-story, 4-bedroom house. What does she need 4 bedrooms for? Does she need the extra 3 bedrooms for all of her cats? That brings us today to episode 3. Episode 3, we're going to meet a third young millennial. I wonder what we'll learn from this one. I actually started into this in the previous episode, but we're going backwards a little bit. Increasingly, the face of prime-age workers in the U.S. are people like Lionel Mars of the Sun Valley neighborhood of Los Angeles. A second-generation hyphenated American, Mexican-American, who grew up watching news of school shootings and inner-city violence. How can you... inner-city violence? Wait, Obama's been president for 8 fucking years. He's half black. He cares about poor people. Inner-city violence. Don't you have police officers? What if the retarded people in the inner city stopped killing each other? Oh shit, I forgot. Fucking white men are forcing them to kill each other. That's never mind. I was thinking that minorities, because it doesn't need to say minority inner city violence, right? Because that's just a given. For one brief moment there, I thought that minorities actually had control over their own bodies. But I forgot that the minorities pick guns up and shoot each other because they're forced to do this by white men like myself. I often use my telekinesis powers to force young, what's the hyphenation this week? Mexican Americans in the inner city, I often use my telekinesis powers to force young Mexican Americans in the inner city to shoot each other, even though they don't want to do it, but they can't help it because they're being oppressed by me because I have white skin and I'm heterosexual and I have a job. I actually work for a living instead of just getting food stamps. The 30-year-old pursued a degree in sociology. How's that working for you? From Cal State Northridge. Mars, too, has struggled to find a good job. But why is he struggling to find a good job? Obama fixed the economy. We have affirmative action. He's a hyphenated American. All he's got to do is show up and say, I'm hyphenated. He's going to get a job just for being hyphenated. He has this valuable degree in sociology from which he's learned so many useful skills, right? Like engineering, mathematics, chemistry, physics. I mean, come on, he has a sociology degree. How could that not be useful? He could probably do like plumbing, electrical work. He could do drywall. He can repair automobiles. He can calculate the paths of rockets and satellites. I mean, he has a degree in sociology. You can't be much more fucking educated than that. Mars, too, has struggled to find a good job, and in recent months has been volunteering at a local legal aid center. So apparently his sociology degree, in addition to qualifying him to work for free, qualifies him to work for free giving out legal aid. Yeah, maybe he's not. He just says he works at a legal... Oh, excuse me. Volunteers. Yeah, he's 30 years old. He voted for Obama twice. Oh. He voted for Obama twice. He's got a degree in sociology. Yeah. Okay, breathe. He has a degree in sociology. And the only thing he's qualified to do is work for free. How's that hope and change working out for you? Oh. Okay, like I said, in the previous episode, where in this article, it talks about how millennials volunteer more than people in the generations before them. Yes, because millennials can't get jobs. There are no jobs. The millennials can't do the work to get a job. They're not able to keep a job. They're not going to show up on time for a job. They don't want to do the job. They've gotten awards all of their lives. They just want to sit there and have things brought to them. They have no qualifications for a job. They have no skills for a job. They have no knowledge for a job. They have no aptitude for a job. That's why they volunteer more. If you have a useful skill set that people are willing to pay you money for, you don't have to volunteer. You can apply your skill set and people will pay you. And on top of that, the millennials, unlike the generations before them, have affirmative action to help them get the jobs even though they're not qualified. Right, turning back to Sunny for a minute. Over here, where do we find it? Real quick. Sunny, blah, 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 blah. Where the fuck is it? Because it says about her appearance. Yes, here it is, the right Sunny. She wants to have a two-bedroom, a two-story, four-bedroom house like her parents. It says right here, while Lonnie's parents never finished college, her parents never finished college and yet were able to make enough money to buy a two-story, four-bedroom house. And that's back when the economy was dominated by evil, patriarchal, heterosexual white men who worked for a living. There was no political correctness. There was no social justice. There was no affirmative action. There was no Hussein Obama, who's half black and brought hope and change and forward. Now, the fucking little faggot millennials, with their fucking hyphenations, they've got affirmative action. They've got college diplomas. They've got a half black president. Or a half white president. However you want to look at it. Is it half full? Is it half empty? Right? It's like my beer. Is it half full? Is it half empty? They've got social justice. They've got hatred of white people. They still can't just get a fucking job. They have to volunteer. Because despite the hyphenation and the affirmative action and the social justice warrioring, ultimately, they don't have the hope, they don't have the change, they don't have the forward. His... And by his, we mean Lionel Mars. We're back to reading here. His heroes aren't Zuckerberg, who actually created something that, as stupid as it is, lots of people like and are willing to pay money and allows Zuckerberg to harvest lots of information and save it, sell it to corporations. His heroes aren't Zuckerberg or athletes like Michael Phelps, whoever the fuck that is. He gets inspiration from people and once again, this will illustrate the problem to you. So we got Mark Zuckerberg, who is a millennial faggot, who nonetheless created Feminist Book, which, while it's stupid, I mean, again, if you give stupid people stupid shit, stupid people will give you their money. Stupid people will give you their personal information. Stupid people will let you sell their personal information. Feminist Book has shown us that stupid people will give up their privacy and their information and their money and their time for the opportunity to associate with other stupid people. You don't have to like Feminist Book or Zuckerberg, but Zuckerberg created something that did not previously exist. He saw that a vast majority of people are fucking losers, and he created this tool that would fill a hole in their lives and allow them to continue being losers while thinking they're not losers. He created a tool that would allow other millennials to attention whore across the entire planet Earth, not just among their immediate friends. And for that, he was rewarded with large amounts of money. Then we have athletes like Michael Phelps. I don't know who the fuck Michael Phelps is, and I don't care. But if Michael Phelps is an athlete and he's making a lot of money, he's spent time training at whatever his sport is. He's put time and effort into it. He has accomplished something. But you see, people who accomplish things, those are not the heroes that Lionel Mars, hyphenated American, looks up to. No. I wonder. Let's see. Lionel Mars, with his degree in sociology and his volunteering, because he can't find a job right now, I wonder what kind of people does he look up to? Who are his heroes? Let's find out, shall we? He gets inspiration from people like Eleanor Roosevelt, the first lady known for her social reform work and spirit of volunteerism. Okay, what did Eleanor Roosevelt do to become famous? She married a heterosexual white man who had a job and then subsequently was elected president. What did Eleanor Roosevelt actually accomplish, do, achieve, sacrifice to become first lady? Nothing. She basically married a man and then the man paid all of her bills for the rest of her life. Oh, bravo. That's so admirable. The first lady known for her social reform work, sounds a lot like social justice warrioring, and spirit of volunteerism. Yes, because again, if you can't get a job, if the only thing you can do is work for free because no one will pay you, then obviously you will attempt to elevate working for free to a virtue. Again, this is something we humans do. That which we are capable of, we will attempt in our minds to elevate to a virtue, because all people, well, everyone wants to think they're virtuous. Adolf Hitler, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Hussein Obama, George Bush, Joseph Stalin, Winston Churchill, Caesar, Napoleon, right? Everybody, regardless of what anyone else thinks of them, every person, we all want to think we are virtuous, right? I want to think I'm virtuous. Stefan Molyneux wants to think he's virtuous. Some feminine, Anita Kuntzlesian wants to think she's virtuous. Everybody wants to think they're virtuous. And as a part of the rationalization process, we all go through where we attempt to, we do lots of virtue signaling. Oh God, I went out a couple of nights ago, whenever the fuck it was, it doesn't matter, with some friends, and this new guy came along, and these are the people I talk about often. We go out Tuesdays with the vampire and all, and you know, there's always virtues, but this guy, oh my God, the virtue signaling that this, even the other people in the group who are all like feminist, left-wing, statist, social justice warrior faggots, they were rolling their eyes at the level of virtue signaling. We had to hear about how women are forced to wear bras by men because men designed bras to oppress women. Which, of course, merely makes my point. Let's think about this for a second. If the only reason women wear bras is because men expect them to wear bras, then this tells me women cannot make decisions for themselves. A woman cannot say, I'm just going to stop wearing a bra because I don't feel like it. If a woman is not even capable of making a choice about her own undergarment, why should she make a choice about abortion? Why should she make a choice about voting? Why should she be allowed to have a job? Why should she be allowed to drive a car? Why should she be allowed to have a credit card? Whenever a fucking social justice warrior, virtue signaling faggot says some shit like, women only wear bras because they're trying to make men happy, what they're saying is that women have no agency, which is exactly what I've been saying. This is why I've said, women shouldn't have jobs, because I agree with the social warrior justice fucking faggot who's saying that women only wear bras because men want them to and women aren't smart enough to stop wearing bras. I agree. Women are not smart enough to make choices about their own undergarments. That's why they shouldn't vote. That's why they shouldn't have jobs. I don't know how I got here. Oh, virtue signaling. How'd I get to virtue signaling? Volunteer. Okay, I got it. I'm back now. Right. So everybody, like, so when you have this stupid idea that women are so stupid, they can't make their own choices about whether they should wear a bra or not, you start trying to rationalize that in your brain, such as it is, and you want to turn your belief that women are too stupid to make choices about wearing a bra or not wearing a bra, you want to turn that into a virtue. And then you start virtue signaling it to everyone around you. And that's why this hyphenated guy, Mars, Mars hyphenated American, this is why he thinks that Eleanor Roosevelt is a great person. Because she was a social justice warrior. And she was into volunteering. And he's into volunteering. He has to rationalize that volunteering is a good thing. Because he can't get a job. Right? It's like the virgin toes. It's the virgin toes who can't get a girlfriend. So they rationalize not liking girls. It's like, well, girls are icky. Girls are yucky. Girls are terrible. I choose not to ever date women. And so they take their inability to ever talk to a woman and they rationalize this into a virtue. Mars, hyphenated American, is the first in his family to graduate from college. Yeah, and how's that worked for you? How's that doing? How's your hope? How's your change? How's your forward? How's your hyphenation? How's your affirmative action? How's your social justice warrioring? You graduated from college with a degree in sociology. How's that working for you? Mars is the first in his family to graduate from college. His dad was a handyman. His mother, a seamstress. Okay, I just read the next sentence. I'm taking a deep breath because before I go on, I want to talk about that. His dad was a handyman. His mother was a seamstress. Let me translate that for you. His mother and his father had skill sets that people were willing to pay them for. His mother and his father didn't have to fucking volunteer. His mother and his father had skills and knowledge and experience, which allowed them to create value for other people. Other people would then give them money. The money they used, unfortunately, at least part of it, to raise Mars hyphenated American. His mother should have gotten an abortion. Unfortunately, or perhaps maybe dad just should have worn a condom that night. But no, unfortunately, they did not spend some of the money they earned by creating value for other people with their skill sets. They did not spend any of that money on birth control or abortions or anything like that. And now we have Mars hyphenated American with a degree in sociology who can't get a fucking job and has to volunteer. But it gets worse. It gets worse because, you see, Mars hyphenated American can't get a job because he has no useful skill set, no useful attributes. He has nothing people are willing to pay him money for. So he has to volunteer, he has to work for free because nobody will pay him money because he's 30 years old, he has no skill set, he has no experience, he has no value, he can't create value for other people. So what is the response of Mars hyphenated American to the fact that he cannot create value for other people and get a job? You may have already guessed. Oh, you may have already guessed. He plans a career. He doesn't have a job, but he's planning a career. Oh. Woo! Okay. He plans a career in... Come on. Take a guess. Take a wild guess. He plans a career in the public sector. Quote, I want to give back to the community, unquote, Mars-American says. I can't get a job. I have a worthless diploma. I have no skill. I'm going to go into public sector. I'm going to give back to the community by getting a job which is entirely funded by taxpayers, who are people that have skill sets and knowledge that allow them to create value for other people. That is not giving back. That is called being a parasite. The fact that Mars-American does not know the difference between giving back and being a parasite tells us that his college education did not teach him anything. There being the fucking nasty little filthy millennials, their emphasis on community and social causes is starting to be felt on Wall Street too. Beyond their outsized participation in the Occupy Wall Street movement a couple of years ago, yes, which has completely died and gone away, because of course, occupying Wall Street required work, required leaving your parents' house and doing stuff. Millennials already are overrepresented in investments focusing on so-called environmental, social, and governance issues, said Amy O'Brien, managing director and head of responsible investment at TIAA Global Asset Network. Yes, millennials are gullible and stupid. So of course they're going to be overrepresented in investments on stupid shit. She notes that many millennials were in high school and college when the financial crisis struck, and that's had a lasting influence. Quote, they put a large value on business ethics, unquote, O'Brien said. Okay, no, millennials could not find ethics if you took the ethics, wrapped them up in fucking glow tape, shoved them up the millennial's ass, and then set off a goddamn flare. The idea that there are millennials who can fucking locate ethics is nonsensical. These people are overwhelmingly in love with Hillary Clinton. Millennials know nothing about ethics. Can we please just stop with the bullshit? Their sense of community... No, it's not a sense of community that they have. It's a sense of selfishness. This thing where millennials care about other people so much. No, they don't. Millennials pretend to care about other people because that's one of their, that's makes them feel good. That's attention whoring, right? If the millennials care so much about homeless people, why are there still homeless people? You've got all these millennials who live at home with their parents. They could bring a homeless person home to their parents' house and share their room in their parents' house with the homeless person. They could eliminate homelessness. They're not doing this. You know why they're not? Because they don't give a fuck. It's community. No, they don't care about community. They care about getting free money. They care about taxing people who have jobs, people who didn't get degrees in sociology, people who are not fucking community organizers, people who don't have to fucking volunteer, people who can create value for other people. They want to tax those people and redistribute those people's money to other fucking unemployed pieces of shit like themselves. That is not fucking a sense of community. Their sense of community has also made millennials more progressive when it comes to public assistance programs, from Obamacare to student debt relief. Yes, because they can't get... I just fucking said... I honest God did not read ahead any farther than their sense of community. Yes, they want to take money away from people who have jobs and give that money to themselves to pay off their student loans for their sociology degrees that don't qualify them for a job. Yes, that's not a sense of community. That's theft. If I go and I buy a new car and I can't afford to pay for the car, and so I break into your house and steal your money to make my fucking car payment, that is not a sense of community. And far from the anti-government spending mantra espoused by many of their parents, millennials have largely embraced liberal ideals about government, explaining why Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton and her former rival Senator Bernie Sanders sell out to the DNC, sell out. For Hillary, DNC is gonna give me lots of money and I'm gonna endorse Hillary. To sell out. Sell out. Have put forward programs to subsidize college tuition and raise the federal minimum wage. Yes! Yes! The millennials, again, they want to have things given to them. Their whole life, they have been given an award for showing up. They got free fucking education for the first 12 years, 13 years, whatever the fuck, K through 12, whatever the fuck you want to call it. That was where, now they want free college. They're getting free healthcare. I'm going to be on my mommy's insurance till I'm 25. Right? They want free healthcare. They want free insurance. They want fucking free everything. They want more. We're going to raise them. Why isn't raising the minimum wage going to help you? None of you can get jobs. You have degrees in sociology. You're volunteering. Of course, they want more of other people's money. Because they're not the ones who are paying the taxes. They're too young and stupid. And they have no life experience. They don't understand that money doesn't just magically appear. They do not understand that there's no such thing as free. They do not understand you can't give people free college. Because college, in the traditional sense, you can certainly get somebody a free education. You have public libraries, internet, talking to other people, all the things millennials don't know anything about. But you can't have free college, right? College is like CSU here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, where I live, Colorado State University. They're building new buildings all over the fucking place right now, including a new football stadium, which we really didn't fucking need. And that's going to be, trust me, I'll probably bitch about that in the future. The old football stadium is out on the edge of town. The new football stadium is right here on the fucking campus in the middle of Fort Collins where there's no fucking parking and the traffic is going to be a disaster. Okay, but a college, it's buildings. They're building buildings. You can't build a football stadium for free. They're building this new health facility so the students can get free healthcare. But building a health building, a building where you have health people in it. I'm just fucking, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's a building. Buildings aren't free. Buildings are made out of metal. The metal has to get pulled out of the ground. It has to be refined. It has to be shaped into steel girders. It has to be transported down the road. It has to be put up and formed into a building. People have to design the building. All of that costs money. Then you have to run the building. You have to staff the building. You have to have janitors because the millennials aren't going to fucking clean up behind themselves. Yeah, that's not going to fucking happen. You got to have janitors. You got to have people to staff it. You got to have teachers. If it's the medical building, you have nurses, you're going to have some doctors, you're going to have people doing all the fucking Obamacare paperwork. All of this stuff costs money. There's no fucking free. You can't get free college. Quote, they actually trust institutions like government more than older people do, unquote, said Howe, the generational trends expert. Yes, they trust big institutions more than old people do. Because, why is this so hard to understand? Why is this so fucking complicated? Old people have more life experience than young people. Young people are more gullible. You can call it trusting all you want. The word is gullible. There's nothing more to it than this. Yes, the millennials, because they're stupid, because they've never put down the cell phone, because they have degrees in sociology, because they can't get jobs, because they want other people's money. Yes, they trust the government because people with no life experience have a hard time recognizing when they're getting fucked over. Quote, they believe we could put a strong set of community and... Hold on, I'm checking this sentence. It didn't make sense. All right, let me say it over. They believe we could put in... Okay, now it makes sense. I missed that. That's kind of an important word. Okay, quote, they believe we could put in a strong set of community and national organizations that would assume a high degree of dependence on these institutions. We would all give more to the community, and the community would give us back in an equitable way. Unquote. From each according to his means, to each according to his needs. Right? This is communism. We create all of these, what do they call it? Community and national organizations. And then we would all give more to the community. See, it's not stealing, it's giving. You would involuntarily give more to the community. And in return, well, you would get so much back. And this is why the millennials are going to be the end of freedom in the United States, at least in the near future-ish. I mean, yeah, 100 years from now, it may be different, 200 years, whatever. 30 years from today, 2045, it's going to be a very different world. There is going to be much less freedom. There are going to be much higher taxes. There will be restrictions on what people can do to make money. There'll be restrictions on how much money people can have. There will be restrictions on who you can associate with. Again, the freedom of association is going to be completely destroyed by these people. It won't just be a matter of you will be forced to hire according to some quota by skin color and gender and fucking gender identification and all this other made up shit. I think it's very likely it'll reach the point where you as a person who owns a business, you will not even do the hiring. You will have people assigned by the government. The millennials, because of their complete inability to cope with an opinion that's different than theirs, they are going to go on an all-out rampage once they have assumed enough political and social power to make sure that opinions that differ than theirs, you know, aren't just ridiculed, but are actually actively oppressed and actively punished. And I think a big difference between the millennials and the old people who came before them, because again, a couple of reminders. Remember, the millennials didn't get to be this stupid on their own. They had these things called parents, and they weren't good at parenting. And yes, I do entirely blame the parents. I blame the parents in the sense the parents didn't use birth control. I blame the parents in the sense they didn't get abortions, despite the inability of all these left-wing statist fucking cunts out there. They can't shut up about abortion. If you're that in love with abortion, I wish you would fucking get one. I wish you'd get an abortion every time you got pregnant. Again, just because we're bringing up, we just want to remind you all, I am not anti-abortion. I am pro-abortion. I want more abortions. I want every fucking woman out there who thinks abortion is a good thing, I want them to all get abortions when they get pregnant. We have to get the stupid people out of the gene pool. And the stupidity is passed on not just through environment, through the parenting, but also through DNA. It's both. It's genetic and its environment. So when you have a dumb bitch and she has a kid, the kid's going to grow up to be, well, we're surrounded. They're called millennials, right? So all of these people should have gotten abortions. Why am I talking about abortion? How did I get here? Oh yeah, the disclaimers. So remember, the millennials didn't get to be this pathetic on their own. They had parents, and I use the term parent very, very, very fucking loosely. The other disclaimer is, of course, that all the generations before, when they were this young, they were stupid also. Okay? Do not forget, all of you, well, when I was your, no, when you were my age, you were fucking stupider than shit too. When you were 18 years old, you were so goddamn dumb that you didn't know the fucking difference between horse shit and chocolate ice cream. And you're, no, I was, no, shut the fuck up. Shut up. When you were 18 years old, you were dumber than fuck. I don't want to hear any shit from you. All right? Just shut up. The difference between the millennials and the old people grew out of it. The old people had to, right? Some of the old people went off to World War II and got shot at and said they had to grow the fuck up. You had the Great Depression. People had to grow the fuck up. We had shit then. We had like, you had the 80s. There's some terrible ass music. You had to grow the fuck up. No, there's some good music too. You had to grow the fuck up. Everybody had to grow the fuck up. That's the thing. All the people who are the old people now, all the people over the age of 35, we all encountered some things in our lives that required us to grow the fuck up. Now, there was also some non-growing the fuck up in the process, of course. And Aaron Clary talks about this a lot, but one of probably the most famous ones is the baby boomers voting themselves all this Social Security and shit. And now we've got this Social Security thing, which is not sustainable, to use the favorite word of all you do. But everybody just thinks that math doesn't matter, right? That's going to crash and burn. And it's thank God. I don't know if I'll get Social Security, but I know the fucking millennials aren't going to get it because there's just no way. The math is not there. The millennials will never get Social Security money. They will not retire and get a fucking Social Security check. Math says it ain't gonna fucking happen. And I hope somehow or another I live long enough to see it happen. Even if it means I don't get Social Security and I die of starvation in the gutter, it will be worth it to see the millennials find out they're not going to get Social Security. Okay, so the difference between the millennials and all the other generations before them is that all the rest of us hit some point where we had to grow the fuck up. The millennials, they're 30 years old. They have degrees in sociology. They're on feminist book. They can't stop looking at their cell phones. They still live with their fucking parents. They're still on their parents' goddamn fucking health insurance. They have all these loans and car payments and shit, and they can't pay any of it, and they can't find a job. And what are they doing? They're studying Hebrew and traveling to Cuba. And Lord knows, I've said it a million times on this podcast, I don't necessarily always claim to be an adult. I don't like claiming to be grown up. I'm not saying I'm mature. I'm immature a lot, but you have to at some point achieve some level of maturity to take control of your life, to take control of your finances, to find a fucking direction. And this is what is beyond the millennials, because they have been so spoiled. They have been so coddled. They have been so awarded. They have been the recipient of so much attention just for being alive. It's like on Feminist Book. I talked about this a long time ago, but this chick I know, she's on Feminist Book. She posts this thing. She says, I finally had my professional picture taken, and here it is. And she's like, posts this picture of her taken by a quote-unquote real photographer. And the comments on it, like this one man wrote back, I say man, I mean boy, he writes back, he says, you go girl, you can do anything. I mean, these are people who they're applauded for having their photo taken. That's all she did. She stood there, light from the sun hit her body and bounced off. The photographer pushed the button on the camera. The light went in the camera, registered on the CMOS sensor. He took it home, he photoshopped it, and she put it on Facebook. And she's being applauded for this and just lauded with you go girlisms. The millennials have no reason to ever grow up. And when they get to be in power and they're still acting like 12-year-old children, they are going to use the power of force, the power of the government, of the police, of the regulatory agencies, of the IRS, of the military. They are going to use that power to force the rest of us to conform to their retarded worldview. And that is when freedom of speech and freedom of association will be lost.